very significant last few weeks. And the activity of the Holy Spirit merits our attention and consideration. I've come of age in another level of understanding about the activity of God. And I'm just so enthralled with who the Lord is presenting himself to us in this particular season of time. I've been challenging us now for some months to be pressing into the Lord, and I'm delighted to report that in response, he has begun pressing into us. You have tasted his Spirit already this morning, and we've had another testimony from outside our local setting about the significance of the grace that attends us. I want to share a few things today that communicate to me the measure the Lord has released in this house for the purposes of God in this region. We're going to do it in a variety of testimonial ways. I've shared with you on a number of occasions the principle that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, and that when you share that testimony, the spirit of prophecy manifests itself to do that testimony again. There are a couple of different things I want to take a look at with you to try to reinforce that principle at its multiple levels. We tend to think of it in terms of healing. As a matter of fact, I had some folks with me. Is there a handheld microphone nearby? I had a number of folks with me a couple of Saturdays ago. Thank you, Tim, up in D.C., where we went to serve a constituency called the Order of St. Luke the Physician. And this particular chapter, Connecticut Avenue or something like that, had us in for a day, and I took Peggy and Jay Patterson and Rebecca, and Fred Reedy happened to be in the area, so he joined me for the day. And we just went to serve those folks, and the Lord was so wonderfully gracious as we shared just the basic things that we know and operate in all the time. And to them, it was such a profound visitation of the Lord. And I thought we might exercise that principle again this morning. Peggy, you've got something to share. It's a cute story, so come tell us. Jay, that older woman, was her name Hattie or Maddie? Hattie, okay.
Well, as Pastor began to teach and speak, it became apparent that these people were really hungry for the word of the Lord, and they were hungry to see him move. These are people that are dedicated to the word of God. They've committed their life to present themselves, to pray for people for healing. And so this is their heart. But yet they were so hungry to hear what our pastor had to share with them about the way, the level of God that he understands and God's intervention into people's lives. And then he said, okay, let's try a simple exercise. And he's done that here with you. We talk about doing a body check where we check to see. We know how we felt when we went in, and then we check to see how we're feeling at the time. So he asked us to stand up. I stood up. And I closed my eyes for some reason, and immediately I became really very, very dizzy. That is not a problem that I have. I don't have vertigo. That is not a problem. So I knew immediately that the Holy Spirit was telling me that there was someone there who was suffering from vertigo. So we had an opportunity to share the things that the Lord was giving to us, or that we were sensing. And there was an elderly lady. She probably... She was at least 80. She might have been 90. I really don't know. But very, very thin, very erect older lady. And when we came forward and we shared the words that we thought we had heard from the Lord, and when we said vertigo, she stood up. She said, "That's me." And so I went to pray with her, and I laid my hands on her ears, and on the sides of her neck where the arteries are, because sometimes the lack of blood flow can also cause dizziness other than in her ear. And several other people gathered around, and we prayed, and she said, I felt that. I know that the Lord has touched me. So I said to her, well, how would you know if the Lord had touched you, that you weren't going to get dizzy? She said, well, if I close my eyes. So she closed her eyes and immediately said, I'm not dizzy any longer. And she had been suffering from this apparently for quite some time. And she said, I've been afraid to go places because I've been afraid that I will fall down. And I'm just fearful. So we broke for lunch. And afterwards, she told us that she had decided to test out the Lord and see if she really wasn't dizzy any longer. And so she goes out and crosses Connecticut Avenue and comes back again. Because that was one of the things she said she was afraid of, crossing streets. She was afraid she was going to get dizzy as she crossed streets and she was going to fall. And she said, I didn't get dizzy and I didn't get hit by a car either.
Is there anyone here who suffers from vertigo? You've got an equilibrium problem? Do you have anyone close to you suffering from an equilibrium problem? Okay, Pete, why don't you stand for them? Peggy, I'd like you to go lay hands on Pete for that person. Okay? That's all right. You can leave that there. Jay, what did you decide to tell?
Well, we had a wonderful time up there. It was such a great time being with other people of the same spirit. And one of the things you learn as you travel is that God's the same here as he is there, as he is on the other side of the world, because it's who he is. The story I decided to share isn't actually something that I had sensed or anything like that, but it was an occurrence that took place in this setting. In that same situation where we asked people to do the body check, several people came up with feet issues. And there's actually a large group of women, probably seven or eight or so, who all had foot problems. And so they gathered together and they started praying for each other. And one of them had a dream the night before where they're all supposed to be sitting around in a circle and intertwine their legs and place their hands on each other's feet and pray. And so they did this. And as they prayed, I think almost all of them had some level of recovery, if not fully recovered. And this is a large group of women. And they were in the spirit together in the circle on the floor, and God was doing great stuff through them. And they were so excited. They came up as a big group and were just bragging on Jesus and what he had done for them that day.
Now, watch the terror in people's eyes when I say, are any of you here experiencing foot problems? All right. There's six, seven, eight. Now, suppose I say, I'm not going to have you sit on the floor, cross your legs, and touch one another's feet. Now, how many of you have foot problems? There's another one in the back. Thank you. You give them enough time, they find the courage. All right, why don't you guys come over here into this alcove and Jay will lay hands on you. God will heal you. Okay. Rebecca was with us, and bless her little heart, I was so excited for her because she had, by the time the Lord was through talking to her, she had a long list of things. Look, now that they don't have to sit in a circle, there's more and more of them. All righty.
Originally, I was going to tell you how the Lord had upgraded my gifting, but as I was sitting, the Lord said, no, don't tell them that. He kept saying, remember the story about the two ladies on the list he had given me, he downloaded to me. It was a list of for hip problems, and these two ladies came up for hip problems, and we were praying for them, and one of them, the Lord just fell on her, and she knew instantly that she was healed because she had claimed it before she came. And then she was encouraged, and Pastor Lanny said, okay, you say you're healed, go touch this person. And so it was neat to see that from her it was passed to two or three other people of healing of their hip problems.
So, who here's got hip problems? There's one. There's one. Right, why don't y'all join Rebecca over here? And she'll lay hands on you. Now, I want to make a point. These things are not unfamiliar to us, but I'm going somewhere with this. How many of you here in the center section are aware of the presence of the Lord? For those of you who are raising your hand, just stand. Let me see you. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm just looking for this section right here. Thank you very much. On my left, but this section right here. Now then, if you're willing to let the Lord use you today by having him touch your body in some way for somebody on this side, remain standing. If you're a little insecure about that, not sure you want to, then you go ahead and sit down. But I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit that he would touch your body in some fashion. It might be a pain, it might be a tingle, it might be a warmth, it might be a cold spot, it might be a sudden awareness of something that you were not aware of, wasn't with you when you got here. And when he does, I just want you to indicate it by lifting your hand toward me so I can see. And then I'll ask you, and we'll find out who that person is that he wants to heal. Okay? So just close your eyes. Consider your own situation. If you came in with a bad knee, that's not a word of knowledge. That is a bad knee. But if as you stand there, you become aware of something, like that Saturday, we had some woman suddenly start to feel distress in her jaw, like she had a throbbing abscess tooth. And sure enough, there was somebody there with an abscess tooth, and they were healed. So it's that kind of thing. Holy Spirit, I ask you in Jesus' name to anoint these to heal and give them the word of knowledge that will release these other captives today before we leave here, now in Christ's name. All right, now as you consider that, I'm going to ask you in a moment what the Lord is showing you. But to the rest of us, I'll say this. There was a testimony brought to my attention this week that gave me fresh insight as to why the Lord wants to do these things. One of my mentors has a signs and wonders grace. Miracles follow him. And in a certain situation, he had a word of knowledge, and God healed an autistic boy. And the upshot of that was this. On a future occasion, the mother and father had a chance to connect with my friend and his wife, and subsequently say to the grandfather, you need to meet these people. Now, as it turns out, grandfather is a big deal in political stuff. I mean, the behind-the-scenes stuff. That miracle opened the door to get access to the grandfather, who has opened the door to the inner chambers of Washington, D.C., where the prophetic counsel of God is now being spoken into very critical situations. The miraculous opens the door that allows us to pass into circumstances where the word of the Lord can be declared so that the wisdom of God can be known in the decision-making processes. Can you connect those dots? Okay, so our ability to connect with the Holy Spirit and respond to his leadership has consequences beyond the moment of healing, because that testimony begins to move out into its circles and awaken an awareness of God that provides the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do what he was out to do when he gave the calling card of the healing touch. All right, those of you standing here, what have you got? Yes, sir. Middle of the back. Okay, who over here has got a problem in the middle of your back? All right, there's one. Why don't y'all stand up and let this brother lay hands on you? He's anointed to heal you. What else do we have over here? Jody, is that your hand up? Tingling and numbness in the hands and wrists. Who's got that? Right here and right here and right here. If you'll come over here. Yeah, we'll get to you too. All right, I'm trying to make a point here. We'll come back to this, you know. Grandmother? Did you have something, dear?
Curvature of the spine.
In the spine? Oh, scoliosis of the spine. Who's got scoliosis? It's that difficulty, that curvature kind of thing that causes you problem. Who's got that? I can't see everybody. You're pointing where? Over here. All right, darling, if you'd come and lay hands on this lady over here in this multicolored garment thingy, jacket kind of Indian blanket looking doodad. Keep your hand up in case you can't find it. Yes, Mary. Tingling in the right hand. Okay, we had first on the left hand, then in the right hand. Okay, that's over here too, it looks like. What else have we got? Florida? Nervous twitch in the eye? Isn't that interesting? Who's having difficulty up in this area? Eyebrow, forehead kind of thingy? Throw your hand up. I can't see everybody. So keep looking from the back there. What else have you got? Yes, Al. All right. Hearing difficulties. Who's having difficulty with the hearing besides me? All right. That brother there, this lady here, this man up here on the platform, two or three of them over there in that circle. All right. What else have we got over here? Beth?
Left?
Left knee. Who's having difficulty with their left knee? This it's Joe back there in the back. Go administer healing to him. What else have we got here? Yes, dear. Okay, the elbow and shoulder and the left arm. Okay, who is that? Is that... Jim had surgery on his shoulder this week. Which arm was it? Right arm. All right, who's having difficulty in your elbow and your left shoulder? All right, if you're having difficulty in your arm and shoulder, raise your hand. All right. Come pray for these two. That one. Okay, there's three. Okay. We see through a mirror darkly, so it would be reversed, right? Anything else over here? Yes, Roger. Sinuses, and that's there. Who's having difficulty in their sinuses? All right, over here. Where else? What else have we got here? Anything else here? Okay, y'all go ahead and be seated. Stay attentive. I'm going to come back to this in a moment. I was just making a point, okay? So don't unplug from the Lord because we'll come back to this in a little bit. Now then, I want you to notice the ease and quickness with which the Lord responds. Okay? The issue is never God doesn't want to do anything. We sang and sang and sang, this is the acceptable year, this is the day of the Lord to set the captives free. And He's in that business. It was all satisfied in the cross. But what tends to happen is we allow these things to be individualized to my need, my healing gift, or my pain. And we fail to grasp the concept of the body of Christ. So I'm going to tell you another story to illustrate the importance of spiritual community. I have relationships outside this country and relationships inside this country. But I want you to think of me for a moment as the head of a household, an international household. This will help the illustration. There is, in my sphere, a man in the Ukraine who God has joined us spirit to spirit. There is another man on a Caribbean island that the Lord has joined us spirit to spirit. He says of me, I am his spiritual father. I have... on this continent, my spiritual father. I also have another who is a mentor and counselor in my life. I have another who is a prophetess and counselor in my life. And we're joined by the Spirit. Do you see it? They're scattered. All right? Now, In the circumstances of my most recent travels, I was approached in Atlanta by someone who works in a government agency, who took me aside to whisper in my ear his concern for me that I was heading into Western Ukraine, because their briefings indicated that there was a very virulent strain of this H1N1, and he was advising me to be particularly health conscious. The night before I left, one of the apostles in my life called me in concern because he had picked up on a vibration that he felt was going to be an attack against me through the H1N1 virus. And so he called to give me health counsel and to pray for my welfare as I traveled for that 6 days. So I blew out, blew up, and blew home. When I got back home, I found out that my spiritual son in a Caribbean island was in a coma, an H1N1 induced coma, and that by the time I got the word, he'd been in that coma for 6 days. It was an attack on me in the sense that it was my spiritual household. Do you follow me? Now, there was a vibration that was being picked up before I left, and in trying to identify it, we said, Lanny is going to be attacked. I need to pray for him. In fact, Lanny's household was attacked. Now, interestingly enough, about, I guess, 3 years ago, my friend had a word from the Lord that he thought was one of those personal jokes that the Holy Spirit will do with you. He was asleep in transit from one city to another, where the Spirit of God said to him, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." And so he awoke, finished his travel, and preached the morning message in his home church in North Carolina. At the close of that service, he was asked to please come to the state of Tennessee to pray for a young woman in a diabetic coma with a blood sugar count of 2,000. Which means her body was shutting down and she was dying. It's not his habit to go every time somebody calls, or else he would always be going to somebody's bedside. But as he was about to say, "Let's pray for her here and send the word to heal her," the Lord said to him, "Wake up, Sleeping Beauty." So they jumped in the car to head toward Tennessee and ended up being buffeted the entire way by an unprecedented multi-state storm that came out of nowhere. Nobody had forecast it. There were tornadoes throughout the thing, and they were buffeted in their driving all the way. He arrives, goes to her bedside, speaks to her as if she's conscious, and says to her, "In Jesus' name, wake up, Sleeping Beauty." She leaves the hospital within 3 days. Now, the Lord began to vibrate that word again recently. And since September, there have been 13 people come out of comas on the basis of that story. One of which was simply a woman hearing it, taking the transcript of what she heard, standing over a bedside and reading the transcript, and the woman comes out of a coma. Okay? Now, when my mentor's wife heard this story, realized it was a coma, that her husband had picked up on the vibration, she said, "This is an attack and it is not unto death." She said that the day after I had called my spiritual father to tell him about this situation, he said, "This is not God, because we know the prophetic destiny of this man. He's not going out like this." And so we agreed together and sent the word that he be healed. Now, I'm trying to connect some dots for you, if you can follow this. Yes, he's out of the coma. Yes, he was in church services, I think, Wednesday night. Okay? What I want you to see is the power of spiritual community. These people, all those names I mentioned, are all joined by the Spirit. They have acknowledged the joining of the Holy Spirit one to another. And so, from North Carolina, I get a word of warning, which turns out to be for a spiritual son in the Caribbean that's affirmed by a spiritual father in New Mexico. Do you see it? It is not prudent for you to not be relationally connected to the body of Christ through meaningful relationships with people who have your best interests at the forefront of their heart. For you to maintain this American independence from the body of Christ is to make yourself prey for demonic activity. One of the young boys who was raised out of a coma, he's laying there. He's been oblivious to everything that's been taking place, except for the fact that he was seeing from the heavenly realm. He'd spent time with Jesus. He was watching what was unfolding. And when he came to, his mother was standing there. And he said, "The angels have been protecting me. There's four of them in the room." He pointed where they were and how they had been attending to him. And he said, "And the devil's sitting over in the window. Mama, would you pray for my arm? Because he touched my left arm, which was still paralyzed." Okay? What the boy didn't know is his mother had brought anointing oil, and when she anointed him, he got feeling back in his arm again. Now, this is the reason people think we're crazy. Okay? Because they do not routinely touch the supernatural realm. And I'm saying to you that these acts of healing that are occurring right here are a doorway into the realm of the supernatural, where God wants to give his calling card through you into situations where he wants to speak something that will bring the wisdom of the Lord into a scenario. Otherwise, they'd be denied the counsel of God. Now, I saw one of the most amazing transformations of a human life that I have ever personally witnessed, and it occurred in about 25 minutes. The actual transformation took place in about 3, but the whole scenario took about 25 or 30 minutes. I called one of my apostle friends this morning because I was missing some details that turn out to be very, very interesting as I tell you the story to make a point. Are y'all following this? It makes sense to you? Okay. I was down in Atlanta for an apostolic ingathering of spiritual fathers and their spiritual sons, and we spent 4 days together. I think it was Wednesday through Saturday, something like that. And there was a gentleman there who the atmosphere of this particular ingathering was to receive people. And so at a certain point, in fact, I had ministered, I think, that night. And this gentleman comes forward as if to share. And so he takes the microphone, and for about 20 minutes, he rambles virtually incoherently. Okay? He's got the Bible on the thing. He says, "Let me read you some scripture." And so he starts muttering to himself. Like he's, "I wonder where that verse is." And he's reading, he says, "That's not it. No, that's not it." In front of the whole assembly. You understand? So 5 minutes into this thing, I'm thinking, well, whatever's going on, this is not it. Lord, what is this about? Show me what's going on with this man. I have since learned, I didn't know this at the time, but this man had pastored a congregation for about 17 years. He and his wife were co-pastors. In the circumstances of their affiliations, he had confronted the senior man over those churches on immorality and had been rejected. That thing later collapsed publicly, and it was another national scandal. But in this process, he got sick. And so he signed everything over to his wife and then went away back to his hometown for healing. What he did not know was his wife had been feeding him arsenic for 2 years. And so while he had signed all their properties and everything, she took, sold it all, and absconded with the children. To this day, he does not know where she is. He had been living out there in the world, working here and there. His most recent employment was for a security company in the Middle East, protecting and doing security stuff for some of our government facilities in Afghanistan and Iraq. A contact was made on Facebook, and this may be the only redeeming thing I ever say about Facebook. But a group who had gone through high school together started a reunion site. Now, my friend, Doug Allen, he's known to some of you, had not seen this guy for 32 years. They reconnected on Facebook, and in instant messaging. So what's the Lord doing in your life? And he begins to tell this tale of being a vagabond for the last X number of years, which precipitates a 4.5-hour conversation by phone, back porch to back porch. And so this guy shows up in Atlanta after several decades of being pretty much out there all by himself. He comes to us as a broken, disoriented loner, not necessarily by choice, but by the circumstances of life. Do you understand? His own testimony was that he had been looking for a spiritual father since 1984. Here we are, what, 25 years later, and he's standing before us in this conference where fathers are receiving spiritual sons. Okay? So I'm watching this scenario, and you can feel the tenseness arising in the room because people are going, when is somebody going to bring a stop to this? Okay? Because it was just absolutely insane. Sam and Doug come to stand alongside this brother to pray for him and to receive him. And when they stood up there, in the spirit, I saw, y'all know what a stud is inside a wall? Okay? I saw one that was displaced in the middle. Not snapped in half, but like it had been hit like that. And so it was fractured and disjointed. As I watched these two brothers come up, it was like braces that stood him back up, but not the kind you nail, the kind that grow together. As I watched in the spirit, I saw this man healed by these guys standing alongside of him. Okay? And when they had finished praying for this brother to receive him as a son into the household of Solon, though I think it was Doug who had prayed because this is now his spiritual son, he was passing the microphone back to the moderator when this guy Brent grabs it again. And my first thought was, oops, here we go again. But in the next 3 minutes, I heard an articulate, focused representative of the Lord speaking coherently and meaningfully to a congregation. The guy was transformed into another person simply by acknowledging spiritual authority in the form of a spiritual father over his life. It was the most dramatic transformation of a human being I have ever witnessed. As I was sharing that night, I heard something come out of my mouth that my mind had not acknowledged because I did not know the work had been done until it spontaneously came forth in my speech. I said that for a long time there would be this phrase that would erupt from my mouth and it would have great passion behind it and be, I don't know what the impact was, but it was forceful whenever it came out of me. And some of you have heard this phrase. That's why I'm acknowledging it to you. You have heard me say, the woman or child has not been born that's going to rule me. And it would come out with vehemence behind it. I heard me say that night by the Spirit of God talking to me as I was talking to them that I have been healed because for the first time in my life, I was subject to righteous rule. And it healed me. I saw it, I understood it that night. Because when you're broken, you don't trust other people to rule you. You only trust you to rule you. And even if you don't rule you well, at least you know the one who's ruling you. Do you understand? What I have seen in the last 2 years, and more readily in these last 3 weeks, has convinced me all over again that the Lord is raising up the righteous rule of spiritual fathers in the earth, and particularly in the house of God, to take us out of this orphan culture and bring us into the place where mature sons can become fathers of mature sons who will become fathers in the earth, because there's a desperate need for the righteous rules of fathers in the house of God. That Brent thing, I'm telling you, I wish I had it on video, because I cannot describe with enough clarity how messed up that thing was until he was received by a spiritual father. And the transformation was as miraculous as your memories of you being born again. There's something going on in the realm of the Spirit that I think we need to pay attention to. God desires that in the Father-Son template of creation, you be rightly related to righteous rule in the form of a human being. I think that the preferred pathway is that natural fathers would be the spiritual fathers of their own households, and that righteous husbands would be the spiritual fathers of their wives and children. But the sad fact is we're not in that state. But I'm submitting to you that it is my considered conclusion that God is unveiling righteous rule through spiritual fathers. And I would appeal to you that before this next year is over, you will have identified who that person is in your life and bow your knee to that righteous rule and watch the transformation in your own soul. I'm telling you, there is healing from the throne for those of us who will submit to the righteous rule of God through His people. One other little tidbit and I'll turn you loose. The night that my friend was praying for me about out of his concerns for my health and well-being in Ukraine, his wife got on the phone and prophesied to me that I would be meeting a man on this journey that I did not know. He was not associated with Sergei, but I would meet him through Sergei. And so my antenna was up. This prophet I trust, I'm looking. Well, lo and behold, this young pastor in his mid-30s, and I make a connection. Turns out he has been abandoned by the denomination in the sense that they rejected him when he decided to obey the Holy Spirit rather than them. I'm just drawn to people who obey the Holy Spirit. I don't like that. Turns out he has a vision for planting a church in every village in the Crimea and has in these last 8 years, I think, planted 50 of them. He has asked me to come to their region and to bring, hear this, the spirit of fatherhood, experience, and wisdom that you carry to my leaders. The Lord has just expanded the borders of our tent once again. Do you see this? Listen, I am convinced that the Lord brings us together for these purposes. The oil of anointing flows from the head to the beard to the helm. Now, I've known for decades that there is a relationship in the Spirit between me and this congregation. Whatever's going on in my life ends up going on in your life. I am telling you, it is time for you to be emotionally and mentally owning the change of season. You have got to quit seeing yourself as, oh, that's just me, and recognize that the grace that attends this house is not just for this house. It is through this house, and you are this house, to there. The Lord wants to release healing from you as His calling card to authenticate you in the moment. I'm telling you, when you walk onto turf you've never been before, talking to people who have never laid eyes on you, and Jesus shows up to heal, you have an audience. Right then, you have an audience. They will hear whatever you have to say. So recognize that these things are not about these things. Do you understand? I'm happy your foot's getting healed, your knee's working, your back's no longer hurt. I'm happy for that. But that was not the entirety of the purpose. It's the calling card of God. If you get healed for backs, you've got faith for backs, be listening to hear who's got back problems. And lay hands on them because you've got faith for that back problem and let it open the door to take the counsel of God and the kingdom of God through that door. You hear me? I think next year we'll have a sign or two hanging over the doors. The one coming in will say, "We gather to scatter." The one going out will say, "On deployment." We've got to start connecting the dots. All righty. How are we doing over here? Somebody give me some testimonies. Yes.
How's it going?
Where's your crutch?
It's over there.
Oh, okay.
So, actually, this kind of has two parts to it, and I hadn't really told everybody the first part.
Okay. Hi. So, like, about two years ago, I have, like, those, I guess they're heel spurs. I don't know. I've never really asked anybody about it, but it's pain in my heels. And I never got prayed for it because I didn't think it was going to happen.
And which Baptist church were you attending?
No, it wasn't that. I just wasn't too confident of that. But a week or so ago in Peanut Gallery, we were talking about Jesus healing people, and you know, I said that out loud that you know I don't ask for prayer often because it's not that I don't think he can, I just don't think he will, and I recognize that that's a weakness in me, and I don't want it to be that way. I don't want that to stand in the way of what God can do. So yesterday morning, I was jumping around like a fool, praising God to David Crowder's Undignified, and sprained my ankle. And spent the whole day with my ankle up, and it was really painful, and was having a really hard time getting around. And Lindsay took me to the hospital, and they got x-rays, and they said it was all fine. By that point, we had prayed, and it was already starting to feel a little bit better. And I got up this morning and could basically walk on it, and now it just feels slightly bruised. So thank you for your prayer and helping me build up my spirit.
Amen. You got some? I'd like to have two or three testimonies up here. These people want to go to lunch, so don't be lingering. Come get in line. And the issue is, or was...
I twisted my ankle, my knee a little bit when I was playing soccer. But as we pray over there, I start feeling some improvement in those tendons. So I believe the process has begun and it will be completed in time.
Thank you. What else have we got? That's it? All right. What else? You mean to tell? Thank you. You're telling me I turn healing grace loose and nothing happens? I don't believe you.
Mary had a word about tingling in the right hand, right? And so I was praying for people, and when I finished praying for people, I got in line so that Mary could pray for me, because when I wake up in the morning, I have one or two fingers, sometimes three, on this hand that are usually numb every morning. Sometimes it goes away when I get up and the circulation, you know, you go like this and the circulation gets restored. But sometimes I'll have pain, residual pain in the finger, which I had this morning. And so Mary prayed for me, and golly gee whiz, the pain's gone, and Mary was surprised.
Come on. Y'all get up here. Come stand in line. I don't want to have to sit here and wait on you. You're taking up valuable eating time.
I had been experiencing some pain in my lower back for, past couple weeks. Up to this point, I'd been very fortunate to have a desk job where I didn't have to stand on my feet very long. But now that I'm back out and on my feet all day long, of course, this old thing started to flare up. And it's an amazing thing to be prayed for and to feel the healing. But I also began to understand that the Holy Spirit was telling me, it's okay to understand you've been healed. Now are you going to declare it? Are you going to declare it, or are you going to sit over there and go, is it going to come back this afternoon? No. Mm-hmm. No. I stand before you today declaring to God Almighty Himself that this is gone.
Thank you, Tim. You know, he brings up a very important point, because I've watched that numerous times. People saying, oh, I thought I was healed, but I guess I wasn't, and bam. Rather than those who say, Jesus touched me, you're not coming back, and they continue to walk in it. Okay? Beth?
Hi, this is Richie. Just met him today. And he had an injury to his knee and had to have surgery. And so he was having pain and wasn't being able to have the range of motion, and we prayed, and that's
well. Good morning, everybody. My name is Richie. I just want to go back real quick on the event. I'm in the Navy. I was in a a command sport event, and playing softball. I was playing outfield, and then I crashed into the fans. When I jumped too high, and when I landed, that's when I broke. I want to show you severity of the leg. Pretty much, I broke the whole leg here. Bone came out, protruded, and can look. I have a rotting surgery, which they had to cut through the knee skin and pretty much move around everything. And it happened in May. And ever since then, I couldn't move, could barely move. And I didn't realize I was depressed. My wife was there for me. She told me, and it was a live experience. I couldn't do anything until recently. When I started coming over here, I felt more open to receive therapy, to receive people's wisdom on life, on everything, and be able to receive the word of God. And recently, through the praying, I felt the energy of the belief of the people that I pray, of everybody flowing through my body, letting me know that it might not heal today, tomorrow, but it will heal throughout time. Through my belief that if I tried every day, go therapy or eat properly, it will. And thanks to Jesus going through my mind, letting me know that, all right, you need to do this. It's for your own good, to protect your family and help the others around you. So thank you, everybody, in Jesus. Amen. Yeah.
I want to remind you of the testimony that Pastor Yonggi Chung gave us in January. That after I prayed for those folks that last night of the conference in South Korea, over the next 3 weeks, every single one of them reported that they had fully recovered. 7 days, 14 days, 21 days for all of them to come to the place where they said, I've been completely healed. So don't despair over the concept of process. There's precedent for it in the ministry of Jesus. Read your Bible. All right, I'm going to turn you loose. There's snack and yak and downstairs, our first-time guest to the kiosk. Those of you who want to be healed, come on up here. And we'll let those of you who have been healed today, you come pray for these because you've got faith for it. Those of you who are working with them, the altar will be open. If you need to begin a relationship with Christ, come talk to Jay. He's real good at helping you make that transition. Would you stand? Father, I thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding, giving us access to the heavenly realm, sharing with us today, Lord, the activity of the Holy Ghost in the Spirit that surrounds us. And I pray, God, you would open the eyes of our understanding and let us see the importance of coming into alignment with what you're doing in the body of Christ. I thank you for the testimonies of healing, for the grace of God on this place, and for the things you're about to do right now in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Go in peace.